Hello, Mr. Goldfarb. This is Stephen Key. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I want to thank you very much for taking a few minutes out of your time to give us an interview.
That's perfectly okay. Do I have to do it?
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to start off and say, you know, the toy industry is pretty tough. I was in the toy industry in the late 80s. I started with a company called Worlds of Wonder, and I helped launch Teddy Ruxpin.
Uh-huh.
And the industry was so tough. I got out of this industry, in the toy industry, because there was so much competition. How did you do so well in the toy industry, given its competitive nature?
Now, you're talking about the competitive nature between inventors?
Just the whole industry. There's so many different toys that come out each year. How have you been successful in this industry?
Well, actually, I've used that fact to an advantage, especially when I started right after I came home from World War II. There were a lot of toy companies, and then there were even more, and that gave the inventor a chance to go and try to sell to one of them. I decided early on, while I was still in the Navy, that I would specialize in toys, because I knew if I wanted to be a successful independent inventor, I would have to specialize. Before that, when I was a youngster in high school, I just went from one industry to another and got nowhere. So I picked the toy industry because I didn't have any money, and I thought it would be cheaper to get into. It was at that time a hard industry to get into. Most of the companies were not happy with outside inventors, but they changed, and there were so many companies that gave me a chance to go from one another.
Has it changed, Mr. Goldfarb, has it changed in the last 50 years, companies accepting?
Oh, yes. The companies that survived were the companies who were willing to talk to outside inventors with their ideas. And so I think the toy industry as a whole, we have fewer companies. Now, that's what makes it harder. We have fewer companies, but the companies as a whole are very receptive to inventors that they know. That's the main thing. Inventors that they know, they are very receptive.
So, if you're just starting out and you don't know of anybody, how can you get into those companies? What do you need to do?
Well, as I often tell new inventors, you just have to stay with it. What you want to do more than anything, hopefully you have an idea that could sell right away, which is kind of rare, as you know. But you want to make an impression. You want to show them that you've done your homework and you are telling them that your invention will make their business something more than they expected, and going to change the whole toy industry. But if you make an impression, they'll see you again. That's the main thing.
Good. Now, you mentioned that you have specialized in the toy industry. Is that just because it's a tough industry and you have to know the history of the industry to keep on coming up with new ideas?
Well, I knew I had to specialize in an industry and learn something about the companies, about the people in it, and have a feel for the same problems that the manufacturers have. And as I chose the toy industry, it was because the other industries, I felt that I just didn't have enough money or backing at all, and I thought it'd be cheaper to go in the toy industry. idea in any industry, great. But if you want to be an independent inventor and you have lots of ideas, I think it's best to invent in some field that you're acquainted with, that you know something about.
Okay. How important is it to understand manufacturing when you're an inventor?
Oh, I think it's very important, but you really, at the beginning, you really don't have to know it. But as you go along, it's really important to understand some of the problems that you're going to run into.
Okay. I guess, do you, when you are showing an idea or a toy idea to a company, do you build a prototype at first, or can you show a drawing of your idea?
Well, I've always, certainly at the beginning, I built prototypes, and I was able to build them myself until I was able to afford to begin hiring a staff, and of course the first people I hired were model makers. But if you're beginning, it's best that you have some kind of prototype.
Okay.
Later on, when they know you, you can show them a sketch or drawing. But it's really best at the very beginning, when you're unknown, to show them that you've done some of the homework needed to present an item.
Okay. When you show them and when you present to them, how many items do you typically bring with you? Do you show them 20 ideas or 10 ideas or 3 ideas?
Well, at the beginning, I think it was just 1 or 2. At the very beginning, the first person, I designed 3 items while I was aboard a submarine during the war in the Pacific. And I made up my mind, the war in Europe ended, and I didn't know about the bomb, of course. None of us knew. But I thought that the Japanese war was going to last longer. But still, I started making plans for the end of the war. And so I decided that I wanted to be an independent inventor. I did not want to work for any company. And I chose toys, and I designed my first 3 toys while I was aboard the submarine. And I did show them when I got out. I showed them to a company in Chicago. I was absolutely inexperienced. The toys were all related. They were all educational toys. And as you know, at the very beginning, education was a bad word in the toy business. Now it's a great word, you know. But I showed these 3 items to a company in Chicago, and run by a woman who had a small toy company during the war. And she liked one of them and said she would take it. And I said, that's wonderful, but you have to take all 3 because they're aligned. Mm. Again, I wasn't experienced. And she said, no, I just want the one. And I said, I'm sorry, I have to place all 3 at once. And I walked away. And I never sold the items. So they're available today. You know.
Oh, that's a great story.
I learned in a hurry, you know, because if that one item went, she probably would have gone with a second and a third, but I didn't realize that. I didn't know that much about marketing, and so I was just an amateur, but that's what happened.
Do you ask for upfront money in advance? Or
Advances?
Yes.
Yes, advances are paid in the toy industry. I never asked for a lot of money, but adequate upfront money or an advance against future royalties.
Yes,
it's a general thing.
Okay. Do you have to have a patent to license an idea?
No, because if you remember, I mean, it takes long enough now, but years ago, it actually took longer than the patent. So if you're waiting for a patent, you might have to wait 2-3 years. I always applied for a patent, but I never had to have a patent.
Out of all the ideas that you have brought to market, is there one idea that's been selling over and over and over for years? Which one would that be, or more than one? I guess it's called an evergreen. Do you have any evergreens?
Well, lots of, several of the games keep selling. The one item that most people happen to know, and was one of my first items, and that was the Chattering Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the most successful item. I know it was a successful item, but as far as income, it was not nearly as successful as a lot of other items that I made. But that's the one item that most people know instantly because they've seen it so much in advertising and
everybody
offers and stuff like that. But I first of all, if you're an inventor, you know that the last item you worked on was the one you liked the best.
everybody knows the Chattering Teeth. I mean, you can buy those today, right? I mean,
yes, in fact, they're out again. Yes, you could definitely buy them today, and they're very nice. And now they put my name on the package, so that's interesting.
Oh, that's very good. I've got a couple more questions for you.
There,
you've won a very large award this year, haven't you?
Oh, you're speaking about in Chicago?
That's a Lifetime Achievement Award, isn't it?
Yeah, that was very nice, yeah.
I mean, you're in the Hall of Fame, I know that, 2003.
Yeah.
But congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
a very nice one. I got an award in England, and it's called the Idiot Award. And I was the first American to get that one. And that's very nice. And Idiot stands for... I'm not sure I know. It stands for ideas, designers, doctors, that kind of thing.
I know, I saw that. It was hard to believe that the abbreviation came out that way. But
yeah, very nice.
What tips and advice would you give a young person that they were gonna if they wanted to start out and they wanted to be an independent toy designer, inventor, what would you recommend? What advice would you give them?
Well, I've got some serious advice and I've got some humorous advice. The humorous advice is to, which I've said over and over again, is to marry a nice woman or guy who has a job. That's the important thing. But to stay with it, mortgage the house, stay with it, meet as many people as you can, don't be that discouraged. If you're an idea person, you have more than one idea, well, get several ideas out there at the same time, because when you turn down up with one item, you know there's another one being considered, and that'll help a lot. But you just have to keep that, and if you have good ideas, you're going to make it, eventually.
Okay, one last question. If you had to do it all over again, would you do it the same way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it works out real well. The toy industry is a wonderful industry. It's made up of great people. You don't have to worry about people stealing or anything. That's all stories, If you can come up with one good idea, they hope you could come up with another. That's the important thing.
Mr. Goldfarb, I want to thank you very much. Some wonderful have a good day, and hopefully we'll be speaking again in the future.
Very well. Thank you very much.